You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, part two of a four-part look at the career of legendary Broadway composer Burton Lane. Lane is best known for his remarkable scores for Finian's Rainbow and On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. This program was originally broadcast in 1981.
The couple years that I was with Frank, year and a half I was with him, I never had any inkling he could write melodies.
Yeah, he really kept that hidden, didn't he?
That was hidden.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm working with somebody, I'll throw lines out. The title, Everything I Have Is Yours, was my title. And I've always been lyrically conscious and always tossing out lines to be used or not used, depending on how a lyric writer felt about it. But with Frank, I struggled over tunes sometimes. He never said, we'll try it this way or try it that way, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's amazing. He really was waiting.
He had one song. I came in one day, he had split up with Manning Sherwin. And he had a lyric that everybody fell in love with, including me, when it was brought to my attention. It came to the producers of the picture's attention first. And they said, will you write a new tune for this lyric? And the tune was Says My, the lyric was called Says My Heart. And I wrote a tune and very, very quickly went into the picture, and the picture was released shortly thereafter, and within 3 or 4 weeks after the picture was out, the song was number two on a hit parade, then it became number one, and stayed up there for about 10, 12 weeks. Big, big hit.
Harriet Hilliard performing Says My Heart, a song first heard in the film Coconut Grove in 1938, words by Frank Lesser, and music by my guest today on Anything Goes, composer Burton Lane.
We didn't talk at all about Ralph Reed, who is, I suppose, in mid to late 30s, your other primary collaborator, whose work I don't know as well because he's primarily a Hollywood writer.
Well, he was Arthur Freed's brother. But at that time, when I it was Arthur who introduced me to Ralph, and Arthur at this time was a big producer at Metro. He was the number one producer, in fact, of musicals in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I started to write some songs with Ralph. And Ralph was a pretty good lyric writer. He wrote some charming lyrics and with fun and with humor. And of course, one of the big song I had with Ralph was How About You, which we wrote for Babes on Broadway.
Which was, I think, your first Academy Award nomination, too.
Yes. But one story, which very few people know about, except, I mean, very few people have heard, was I was the one who brought Judy Garland to Metro's attention. Oh. And she was in an act called the Gum Sisters. And I had gone to a picture show downtown in Los Angeles at the Paramount Theater where they had a stage show. And on the bill was the Gum Sisters. And when they introduced their kid sister at the end of the act, of course it was Judy, and I just went out of my mind when I heard her sing. She was about 11 years old then. She sang two songs. Zing Went the Strings of My Heart and Airy Airy. Those are the two songs.
Oh my.
And I went into the lobby of the theater and I called the head of the music department at Metro. And I said, I've just heard a sensational kid and I think you ought to hear it. Somebody ought to hear it at the studio. He says, we'll arrange to bring her out. So I went backstage and I introduced myself to her father and arranged the following week when they had finished their run at the Paramount to bring her out. And she came out there, I don't know, about 9:30 in the morning. And I played her audition. Her audition started at around 9 or 9:15, something like that, with L.B. Mayer, with the heads of the studio, and went down through every producer on the lot, every director on the lot, until about 7:30 at night.
Oh my.
And I played these the two songs, Ellie, Ellie, and Zing Went the Strings of My Heart.
Were they all as impressed as you were?
Oh, well, they signed her, and the only thing, not one person said thank you. Nobody, not one person said thank you.
Yeah.
And in 1941, this was 1934 when I brought it to the attention of when this happened. 1941 was the first time I actually saw Judy since that audition.
7 years later, wow.
And I went on the sound stage to start teaching her How About You, she and Mickey. And when she saw me, she ran the whole length of the sound stage and threw herself in my arms and said, my God, where have you been? I said, I've been here. They had loaned her out.
Oh,
they
you.
Signed her and then loaned her to 20th Century and to one or two other, to make some outside pictures.
Yeah.
And then she had brought it back here.
One, two, three.
When a girl meets boy, life can be a joy. But the note they end on will depend on little pleasures they will share. So let us compare. I like New York in June. How about you? I like a Gershwin tune. How about you? I love a fireside when a storm is due. I like potato chips, moonlight and motor trips. How about you? I'm mad about good books, can't get my fill. And Frank that rose thus looks give me a thrill. Holding hands in the movie show when all the lights are low may not be new, but I like it. How about you? I like Jack Benny's jokes
to a degree.
I love the common folks.
That includes me.
I like to window shop on Fifth Avenue.
I like banana splits, late supper at the Ritz. How about you?
I love to dream of fame. Maybe I'll shine.
I'd love to see your name right beside mine.
I can see we're in harmony.
Looks like we both agree on what to do.
And I like it. How about you?
I'm so delighted I've ignited the spark within you. Let me continue to make it burn.
With you I will be like a trilby, so let's not dally. Come on, Svengali, I've lots to learn.
When you arise and start exercising daily,
for example, just
bend and touch the floor 50 times or more.
A fine start to be a Bernhardt.
A dictionary's necessary, but not for talking. It's used for walking the Ziegfeld way.
Is this okay?
That's the trick. You're catching on quickly.
Should I take a bow?
Let me show you how.
Just like partners on the stage.
If you can use a partner, I'm the right age.
Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney in 1941, singing How About You in the picture Babes on Broadway.
It was in 1941 that you wrote Babes on Broadway with
right.
Ralph Reed. And,
yes.
And that was...
With Ralph and Yip. Yip wrote a few songs in that picture.
Uh-huh.
We wrote a song, Yip and I had a song in it called Anything Can Happen in New York. And we had a song that we had written to honor the British people during the Dunkirk evacuation during the war. We wrote a song called Chin Up, Cheerio, Carry On that Judy Garland sang in the picture.
Right. And she also sang How About You, which
yeah.
was a gorgeous song. It became was nominated for an Academy Award, your first. And
first. I lost to a pretty good song, too, you know. I didn't get
what was the song?
The song that got the Academy Award was a little thing called White Christmas.
Oh, just a little thing called White Christmas, uh-huh. Mr. Berlin.
He did me
I
in.
Didn't know that.
Sure.
So that's the...
Holiday Inn?
Holiday Inn, yeah, of course.
Fascinating city, magic castles rising in the air. Wall Street, Broadway, guys are sitting pretty. Every window hides a millionaire. So when defeatists holler, there's no chance. Just tell them this, but with a dirty glance. Once Mr. Woolworth didn't have a dime.
and Irving Berlin didn't have a rhyme. And Thomas Dewey didn't have a crime, but anything can happen in New York.
Once Rockefeller didn't have that oil,
and Tiffany, he didn't have a foil,
and Ziegfeld didn't even have a guile,
but anything can happen in New York. You two can be that big ball of fire. You two can have your name in Who's Whom. You two can climb up higher and higher until you reach that rainbow room. The Wall Street bankers didn't have a trust. The automatic didn't have a crust. The Hall of Fame, it didn't have a bust. But even you can be one in New York. Yes, sir, you can be one in New York.
The New York subway didn't have a nickel.
Take Mr. Hines, why, he started without a pickle. Grand Central Station, it started off without a porter.
And Eddie Cantor started off without a daughter. You two can be that big ball of fire. You two can start from scratch and get rich. You two can climb up higher and higher.
Like Lord and Taylor.
Fun with Teller.
Gimbel.
Macy. Rockefeller.
You can even be an Abercrombie Fitch. Once Mr. Morgan didn't have a yacht, and Joe DiMaggio didn't have a swat.
The pot of gold didn't have a pot.
But anything can happen in you. That don't mean innuendo. We mean only in New York.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
From the dark cafes of Paris, from the streets of Amsterdam, the homes of old Vienna, to the shores of Uncle Sam, wherever freedom's hope is true, each heart cries out to you. Don't give up, Tommy Atkins, be a stout fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on. Keep a stiff upper lip when you're in doubt, fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on. Oh, the sun's sure to smile on your tight little aisle, so hang on to your wits and you'll turn the blitz on Fritz. There's a whole world behind you shouting, stout fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on. give up. Tommy Atkins, be a stout fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on. Keep a stiff upper lip when you're in doubt, fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on. Oh, the sun sure to smile on your tight little aisle, so hang on to your wits and you'll turn the blitz on Fritz. There's a whole world behind you shouting, stout fella, chin up, cheerio, carry on.
Two more songs from the film score to Babes on Broadway. You heard Mickey Rooney performing Anything Can Happen in New York, and followed by the composer himself, Burton Lane, performing Chin Up, Cheerio, Carry On. Both these songs written in collaboration with lyricist Yip Harburg.
We had songs in a number of films, but not we never did a score together for films.
Right, because this the next song I was going to talk about was Poor You.
Yes, that was a song. That came after Babes on Broadway, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
It was in a film
called... Because Tommy Dorsey was... I remember Dorsey was in this film, and Frank Sinatra was his vocalist, and this was a song that... Poor You was a song that Sinatra did. That was his first single.
Okay.
And I thought that song would take off and be a success, but it never happened.
Uh-huh, and yet...
It's a marvelous lyric.
Oh, yeah.
It's an adorable lyric.
And it was in a film called Ship Ahoy.
Yes.
I'm sad for anybody walking about who's missed all the thrills I've been through. I'm sad for anybody who hasn't found out just what your caresses can do. And that's why I'm especially sad for you. Poor you. I'm sorry you're not me, for you will never know what loving you can be. You never know your charms, you never feel your warmth, you're never in your arms. When it is you I'm kissing, I pity you constantly. You don't know what you're missing, for you're only kissing for me. You live your whole life through, and yet you'll never know the thrill of loving you. Your whole life through, and yet you'll never know the thrill of loving you.
Judy Garland performing a Yip Harburg Burton Lane song written for the film Ship Ahoy in 1942, Poor You.
You went back to Broadway in 1939, I guess, to do Hold On to Your Hats with Yip Harburg. What got you back to Broadway at that point? Because it had been, a few years since you, I guess, almost roughly eight or nine.
Well, I had a very uneven career in Hollywood. I learned something about my own abilities. One thing is that unless I'm working on something I truly like, I'm not inspired, I'm not really motivated to do my best work. I've always admired writers like Harry Warren and the Silverman and Henderson and many of the other pop writers who, no matter what they were working on, would always be writing at the top of the level of their talents. And I wasn't able to do this. I could only really function best when I liked either who I was working for, that is, who I was writing for, or liked the property.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a kind of an uneven career. It was modestly successful and long periods where not much was happening. And in 1939, I guess it was 38, 39, I was going through a rough financial period, and I figured, well, I'm going to try to get a band together so I can have some continuity of work and keep working and still write. So I started to organize an orchestra. And this took me to Chicago, where there was an orchestra. I had relatives living there who had certain connections, and they had found a group that I could take over. And I was about to settle on this when I got a call from Alex Ahrens of Ahrens and Friedley,
yeah,
who said, would you like to do a show? Now, he had done some tracking down to find me in Chicago.
Yeah, you must have.
And he said, would you like to do a show? And I said, yes. He says, will you work with Yip Harburg? I said, yes. And I didn't even know what it was that I was going to work on. I dropped the show. I dropped the band. I dropped everything. I borrowed some money and went to New York.
Terrific.
And that's the show that turned out to be the last show Al Jolson.
Right. It was his last Broadway show. And he was... How did he react to having to, I mean, such a gigantic star, you know, how did he react to sharing the billing with people like Jack Whiting and Martha Ray and Bert?
Well, he wasn't really sharing a billing. It was Al Jolson in with.
Oh, I see. So he's still on top.
He was still on top, except that his career had taken a fall.
Yeah, it was not a high point for him.
It was not a high point for him. He had been... he had been off Broadway for 10 years. This was his comeback. Radio had knocked him off. He had not been successful in radio.
Mm-hmm.
He had not been. He had done films that were successful. Nothing had happened that was helping him along. He was kind of a leftover giant talent from another era.
Yeah.
You know, caught by the mechanics of our business. Radio was a new thing.
Right.
Television hadn't happened yet. Films had just started with talkies.
Yeah,
you know,
it was the
early days of talking films. So he was caught in the middle, and his career had gone downhill.
Did he in Hold On to Your Hats? Did he still do his tricks of after a while in the show he would sort of stop doing the show and then start singing medleys of his own thing?
Well, I tell you, when we tried to figure out a way to avoid this, because it was his custom at the end of a show. He always would do it at
the
end of
the show. Oh, he'd wait till the end of the show.
He'd wait until the end of the show. And then he'd bring the curtain down, he'd loosen his tie and say, folks, you ain't heard nothing yet. And then he'd do medleys of all his hits, which made people forget the new score.
Right.
Well, Yip came up with a brilliant idea. Yip Harburg. We wrote an opening song for him. This had to do with a radio performer, a guy who had been on Broadway and who had failed and now was in radio. And he was bemoaning the fact that his life had taken this terrible turn. And his opening song, which tore the house down, was a song called I Was Walking Along, Minding My Business, Singing a Song. Now, in that song described what a marvelous performer, what a big star he was, until this microphone came along. And he did a chorus, and then he did a recitation, and in the second chorus he did, I was walking along, minding my business, singing a song, when whippoorwills call, And evening is nigh, I hurry to my blue heaven. I was walking along, mine and my mammy. He went into, we did his medley.
I see.
We did his medley at the beginning of the show. And all the critics said that he took on a quality he had never had before. He was like Victor Moore. You felt sorry for him. Because Joseph was a man you never could feel sorry for.
Right.
He didn't have that sympathetic quality. He was very aggressive and always on top of everything. This song brought out a quality he had never shown before, and they adored him for it. He tore down the house. The opening number, you couldn't go past that. It was a smash. You were in. The end of the show. He says, Joe, open the curtains. So he opened the curtains, and there's the whole cast standing behind him. He said, the best cast money could buy. All right, close the curtains now. All right, folks, you ain't heard nothing yet. And now he goes into the same medley that he had in the song, now he was doing the full songs.
Yeah, oh, boy. This guy had incredible chutzpah.
He was a monster, you know. He really was not a nice man. He treated people. He never treated me badly, I guess because I was younger than anybody else.
Yeah.
But he treated everybody else so
He
terribly.
Sounds like he was not an easy person to work with, no.
Love is a lovely thing. Love is a breath of spring. Love is a magic crown. But don't let it get you down. Give it a little whirl. Show it a little care. Get it into your heart. But baby, don't let it get into your hair. Hand it a big hello. Give it a swell farewell. What if it doesn't last forever? Better a little now than never. Shout it around the town, but don't let it get you down. Love is a lovely thing. Love is a thing we sing. Love is a star we steer. Don't let it strip your gear. Love is a song by Kern. Love is a waltz by Strauss. Is there a sweeter song in heaven? Is there a doctor in the house? Love is a gypsy call. Love is the world and all. Why is it such a strange illusion? Maybe it needs a blood transfusion. Love is a wedding gown, but don't let him zip it down.
Al Jolson, the original star of Hold On to Your Hats in 1940, performing a song written for that score by Yip Harburg and Burton Lane, Don't Let It Get You Down.
Did the show close because he left? I mean, he had...
Well, what had happened, he had done that. He had gotten involved in this show in order to win back Ruby Kiwa. He was married to Ruby Kiwa.
Right, right.
And they had split up. And what I don't know what he did, but he convinced her that if she could work with him on a stage, she'd fall in love with him again because she'd see how wonderful he was. A man with a little ego.
Just a small one, yeah.
Small, yeah. Anyway, she agreed to do this, and this was amazing.
So that she would,
that she would agree,
right,
that she would agree to do this. Now, our show opened in Detroit, played a week in Detroit, and then went to Chicago. And in the first week in Chicago, a matinee performance, he was doing a scene with Ruby, and he was doing a reprise of a song called Don't Let It Get You Down. Love is a lovely thing. Love is a breath of
Great
spring.
Song.
And he went into dialogue after singing the first chorus. But instead of the dialogue of the show, he said, you know, Ruby, if your mother hadn't come into the kitchen and brought, and he brings up a subject that they quarreled about, you and I would never have split up. Well, Ruby took a look, couldn't believe what she was hearing, turned on her heels and walked off the stage and never came back. The understudy finished the part. Then they had to replace Ruby, of course. They got Eunice Healy to replace her. So that Jolson now knew he had lost Ruby.
Oh, boy.
Now, when the show was doing fantastic business, when it finally came into New York, did fantastic business, when he got his money back and business was still standing room only, he closed the show and claimed he was sick.
Yeah, the weather or something, right?
He claimed he was sick, and then they got photographs of him at the racetrack in Florida. Georgie Hale was the co-producer with him, and sued.
Oh, my.
And he was forced to reopen the show. But by that time, something like 3 months or 2, 3, 4 months had gone by, so all the life was, you know, it was almost impossible to put the show together again and do it right. And that was really the end of it. But he closed the show as soon as he had his money back. You know, we got a terrible break with that score. The show was opened in 1939, and that was very close to 1940. And in 1940, the big fight with BMI started, and ASCAP was banned from the air.
Right.
That's when you heard nothing but
BMI
you heard Public Domain, Genie with the Light Brown Hair. BMI hadn't been formed yet.
Right, but they.
But
they
it was formed during that year, and ASCAP was off for a solid year. Two of our songs from that show started to become hits very quickly when the show opened. The World Is in My Arms, and There's a Great Day Coming Mañana.
Of course, which are fabulous songs.
And suddenly we were off, and that was it.
That's amazing, and it's a shame because it was just before cast albums started to be made.
That's right. Yeah.
As well, it was just bad timing, really, yeah. Isn't it?
My, the world was big just a day ago, for just a day ago, who would ever dream I'd be dancing with you? Every star was far just a night ago, and just a night ago, too. I seemed so all miscast, just getting nowhere fast. Here was I, a gypsy, looking for a world to roam in. Now the world is in my arms. No more aimless searching for a place to feel at home in. For the world is in my arms. Mexican hills, Florida skies, tropical seas here in your eyes. When I see you smile, I see the sunsets of Geneva. What's that magic in your charms? When I hold you, I hold the world right here in my arms.
Another song from the Lane Harburg score to Hold On to Your Hats, The World Is in My Arms, recorded exclusively for Anything Goes by multi-talented saloon singer Steve Ross. And this about wraps it up for the first part of this look at Burton Lane's career, a composer's composer, and going to end today with a very, very special recording of Burton Lane himself performing a song from the show we'll begin with next Sunday, Finian's Rainbow. And it has very special significance in terms of the recent passing away of his collaborator, Yip Harburg. And this was at a Songwriters Hall of Fame award ceremony, and I'm grateful to Dina Rosenberg of NYU for making this available. And it was when Yip Harburg was to receive the Johnny Mercer Songwriting Award and unfortunately passed away just a few days before he was to get it. Burton Lane performing How Are Things in Glockamora.
I'd like to do one song that I wrote with Yip that came from the score of Finian's Rainbow. It was one of Yip's favorites.
I hear a bird, a Glockamora bird. It well may be he's bringing me a cheer. I hear a breeze, a river shedding breeze. It well may be it's followed me across the seas. Then tell me, please, how are things in Glockamora? Is that little drug still living there? Does it still run down through Donnycove, through Killybanks, Kilkerry and Kildare? How are things in Glockamora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that lassie with a twinkling eye come smiling by? And does she walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me? So I ask each weeping willow and each brook along the way, and each lass that comes a sighing to relay. How are things in
part two of a four-part look at the career of talented composer Burton Lane. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.